For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
So guess what, Conan?
What up?
K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed again. So Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thugs, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC, not the garbage they sell in the gas stations, which in the gas stations stuff is garbage. It is super potent, like THC on steroids. Has a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon, and it works like alcohol but with no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, or you can mix it with water or soda, whatever you want. You got flavors like cherry and grape, and both are delicious either way. So if you go to getblitz.com, that's GETBLITZED.com, and use the code K100, you get 15% off. Now I've tried this, and it comes perfect as advertised. Nice little comfortable buzz, quick onset, you know, you don't need a lot of it, and it tastes delicious. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at GetBlitz.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. Order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or at K100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GET-BLITZED.com. Awesome product.
Okay, real quick, because we try everything on this show. Did you try it yet, Joe?
Well, I tried it before they were a sponsor, but the ones that Mickey just sent me, I tried this week, two nights. I used a little, I actually just
what
filled
flavor?
Up cherry, and I actually just filled up the cap and I put it in with like Coke or Cherry Coke, and it tastes good. There's nothing medicine-y about it or whatever. It tastes good. I had a nice little buzz after 10 minutes and then I slept really well. So, I mean, no complaints
at
all.
So let me tell you what my experience was. When I did mine and I did a tablespoon put another tablespoon. I actually had the first one with orange juice and the second one with some vodka. The second one, bro, kicked in really nice. What I liked about it, it wasn't a hard buzz, and it, you know, so the nice little buzz, which you can keep kicking in by using more. Very, very, very nice. Highly recommended.
So that's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitz.com, GETBLITZED.com.
Yo, get blitzed at getblitz.com. Boom.
Next is from Hank Bean. He said his favorite gimmick that never got over. This is interesting. Hey, guys, what is a favorite gimmick that you saw that never got over? Mine is Jimmy Wang Yang, the redneck Asian. His vignettes were fire. That's from Handsome Hank. P.S. Why did my question about Disco's last match not get read? It did get read. It went to the mailbag on the Patreon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Right. You want to watch Jimmy here for 25 seconds?
Sure.
Yep.
This was funny.
Asians all smart and mad and stuff like that. Matter of fact, when I was in school, they said the Asians set the curve. Jimmy Wang Yang passed with straight thieves. Matter of fact, only curves I know is from my old lady.
Jesus.
What'd you think of that, Conan?
I just thought that was a funny character, because just the Asian guy speaking country, you know, just that was funny to me.
Is that like a thing? Did he do that like as a joke backstage or something?
He did have a redneck accent.
Did? He messed around? Yeah.
Next is from Eddie Hogan. So just stay away from the titles. Hey, K100, CM Punk returned to Survivor Series. So I'm as good at breaking news on the show as Billy Body was. When do I start my weekly segment? Everyone on Earth can see the plan WWE are moving towards CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Barring any injuries, I think they'll tear down the house shows. They'll tear the house down, and storyline build towards it will be incredible weekly television. My question is, does it really need to be for the title? CM Punk right now is a bigger deal than he has been in 5 years, or a bigger deal than he has been in years. Punk versus Rollins is a huge match, so why waste the title being on the line? Do you guys think the CM Punk being put into the title scene could cause a backlash and undo all of his goodwill? No. So what are you talking about? The fact that Seth has the title makes the feud even better.
Yeah.
You got more stuff more things involved that you can
and
talk
remember
about.
Remember his big point, one of his big points of contention back in the day when he left, which amazingly is almost 10 years, is he wanted to main event WrestleMania. So there you go. Rollins, Punk, title, main event on one of the nights in Philly. Boom.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Punk for a minute. So it was pretty funny. You know, we did a month ago, we did a video where, you know, like everybody that listens to the show knows that I made that bet with Joe a while back, but obviously like a lot of things have changed going forward, you know, with Vince McMahon not being involved in creative anymore and the company being sold and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, and that basically had changed my opinion, but we did a clip, YouTube clip that's up now. That when we were, remember Conan, when we were talking about how Meltzer and the Dirt Sheet guys were reporting, and this is the funny thing, all these guys were reporting that Punk wasn't going to show up.
That, yeah.
Right. Everybody was.
That just made me more certain.
Because we were pretty certain that the WWE, their sources were feeding these guys false information because the buzz about Punk was too much. It's exactly what happened, you know?
And remember,
they got fed false info. Go ahead.
When Eric was on the show, we asked him about that, and he agreed, too, that probably it's just misdirection, which it was.
Right. Complete misdirection. You got a comment on that, Conan?
Yeah, I always said from the beginning, I thought Punk's going to be back, and then I just thought, bro, I'm thinking as a promoter, I was like, it's too enticing not to bring him back at Chicago. The stars don't always line up like that. And that would be a hell of an entrance. They're going to do it. They're going to sit him down. They're going to talk to him. I know for a fact that before the show, he went into different rooms and talked to different wrestlers. I think he wanted to make sure everything was smooth and everybody was cool with him. And probably to apologize to some people or whatever he did, you know?
All right. That's interesting. What did you think about the way they did it?
Perfect.
Here's the interesting thing, right? It's like they
Mondays or the Survivor Series?
No, the Survivor Series. Okay, so he came back at the end of the show, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't do it. He just walked out and he had his, you know, the white T-shirt on, which I'm not a fan of. You know,
awesome. What's the deal with that haircut he has?
Yeah, look, so, no. I mean, that's something. Look, when he was on AEW, he let himself get gray. His teeth were a little discolored, if you will, as people have pointed out. WWE comes in dye job, whitened teeth, you know?
Because right. You're in the big time, bro. If you don't look good, you're going to stick out, you know, even right. though he doesn't wear suits, because that's not his MO, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
No.
And even he even looked in better shape.
He's the counterculture guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay, so next.
Well, what were you saying, Di, about how they brought him in? You were about to talk about it at the end.
Oh,
of the
yeah.
show.
Well, okay. I thought it was very clever because you know the whole thing is like, you know, these aren't pay per views anymore. That's one thing that people got to be clear about is that because you weren't selling Punk because you would have had to if they were still doing pay per views, you would want to advertise Punk is coming back. To sell the pay-per-view, right? But now they're not pay-per-views anymore. They're just shows or premium live events on the streaming network, right? So they brought him back at the end of the show, did a couple things that went viral. Like they talked about, like, you know, Drew McIntyre left the building in a hurry. They showed Seth Rollins cussing him out, pissing everything, mm-hmm. and let that fester on social media for a day or two. And then you bring him out on Raw. So it's like there's good buzz, right? And you're when people are waiting to see what he's going to do. You know, like next. So I thought that was very clever the way they did that. Where he came out and did nothing, you know, except for Seth Rollins getting pissed and stuff. You know, just and they sold that for like 2 days. So I thought it was clever. I'd like to see what number they do. We're not going to get the number for Raw today. I think it's backed up a day.
What was Monday's game? Yeah. What was Monday's game? Because I was sleeping.
Chicago, Minnesota.
How was it?
Terrible game. Like no offense.
Right. So they should have gotten good numbers.
Yeah, they
said. Here's a couple of news bits on it. The comeback moment got more than 71 million views. The biggest social post in WWE history. The previous record was Logan Paul and Ricochet off the ropes, 40 million. But Punk got 71, and that's about it. There's a Sports Illustrated story out on it. I haven't read yet though by Justin Barrasso.
All right, next is from Gary Hans. The subject: who's next? Was CM Punk back in WWE? Did he really look jacked up, or was that just WWE's perfect TV projection? How realistic do you think are the chances of Sasha Banks and Mercedes Moné coming back soon? CM Punk has had a bad backstage reputation, is known for being injury prone, but he keeps people watching and reacting just like Sasha Banks. Or do you think that her overall downfall since leaving WWE will be all the signs that WWE needs to never bring her back? She's not raised her profile since leaving in 2022 at all. If anything, she's kind of turned herself into a meme. Conan brought up that, you know, did you or Joe bring up whether they're bringing Sasha Banks back?
I said I heard that was Hunter's next conquest, yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, she's good TV. You know, she looks like a star. She cuts a good promo. So I guess, I don't know. I don't speculate on stuff like that. What about you,
Go ahead, Connor.
I would.
Right.
Well, she's a big megastar, looks professional, has worked on The Mandalorian. You know, I mean, she's from their system. You know,
younger fans NXT. Love her.
Yeah. And, bro, I said this a couple months ago, and I'm going to repeat it again. Everybody comes back to WWE. And they've had – and we've heard WWE say, I'll never bring this guy back. We'll never work with him. Bury them on videos. Brought him back. I've heard wrestlers say, I'll never go back to WWE. They did go back. Because once you're not there, you understand the enormity and the popularity of who they are and what they can do for your career. Sometimes when you're there, you're in the bubble and – living the moment, and you're like, fuck this place. I'm going to go somewhere else. But once you're somewhere else, for most people, they understand, wow, this is where I got to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the list of people that haven't returned, and it's very short now because Bruno, Wendy, Richter, Warrior, they all came back, is Lex Luger. I don't think Lex has ever done anything on camera with them since he jumped in 95. And Ryback.
Yeah, but that may be because he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, like I'm not sure if they showed him on at a Hall of Fame thing or not, so I could be wrong, but yeah.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport App says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Fresh ball fall is upon us, and you need to be in the festive spirit. light a candle, get some pumpkin spice, and make sure your balls look nice with the sponsors of today's show. Guess who they are? Manscaped. So nature may clear the leaves of their trees, but you'll need Manscaped's help to get you ready for the sweater weather. Get your pants puppies prepared for cupping season with a trim as refreshing as a fall breeze by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. So it's getting chilly outside, so it's time for flannels and cozy socks. But we can't forget to trim your balls, okay? You've heard of them. I mean, a lot of our listeners, you know this is one of our favorite sponsors. But it's time for them to join the ones that haven't. It's time for them to join the 9 million men worldwide using Manscaped and get the kit that covers it all. The Performance Package 4.0. It's all you need. It starts with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer with advanced skin-safe technology that reduces nicks and cuts to make raking the leaves a lot less painful. Plus, the lawnmower, it has a 7,000 RPM motor, a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and a built-in 4,000K LED spotlight to help you see your parts of your body you haven't looked at in years. So once you've cleared the driveway, the Performance Package comes in hot with products to cool you down. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, I know Joe uses that and probably has to sleep with his wife.
Damn
and the
right.
Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, one to prevent stink and one to clear it up. And with a soothing aloe vera formula, move over pumpkin spice, fresh balls, and the smell of the season. So the Performance Package 4.0 caps off with two free gifts. Now, I'm not lying. The Manscaped boxers are the most comfortable boxers you'll ever wear. I mean, Cody, how many pairs you got? I've got like four pairs of these.
A lot. Wearing them all the time. No, yeah. I got like 10. Yeah.
Yeah, the Shed Travel Bag. And it's a pretty cool bag to travel with. Perfect size. Got to put all the things in there. And that's one to hold your Manscaped goodies and one to hold your man goodies. So bring in the fall right and get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. It's a great deal with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code K100. As the leaves fall, make sure you have it all with Manscaped.
The great thing about this, even though they say it's for your nether regions, you can use it on your arms, your legs, your chest, under your arms, your head. Obviously, use a different one. And, you know, it comes with all sorts of deodorants and crop preservers. Joe used to suffer from swamp ass until he started to use the crop preserver. And
Light
now
saver.
He smells halfway decent.
Yeah.
This is a must-have. So check it out. All three of us use it. All three of us swear by it. Stay groomed. Go to manscaped.com. Boom.
Next one's from also Garrison. Subject is the worst of all time. Hey guys, I don't know if you guys read the Twitter when NXT is on, Yakizumi. I know you guys don't, but people online keep saying that Booker T is the worst commentator of all time. Here's my question. Do you think this is because of his commentary work or because he's Brace Yourself Snowflakes is critical of AEW on his podcast? I mean, you can see in his own comments on YouTube that he gets a ton of hates whenever AEW is spoken about. What does K100 think, and what are the chances of you guys having Booker back on the show? I'd love to have Booker back on the show. And yes, yeah. That is the AEW fans hating on him. Because I think Booker's entertaining on commentary, especially cause if you knew the guy personally, you'd love his commentary. Because that's the way he is in real life when he gets excited watching fights and stuff, you know? So,
I brought that up. I agree 100. Let me just say this, bro. I agree 100%. Booker, even if you don't know him, he's good on the commentary. He's got his own style. He doesn't pattern himself after anybody. He's having a good time. He's knowledgeable. He's been at the top. You know, he started at the bottom. What else do you want? You know, and so I'm going to say it again, bro, because it's worth repeating. By the way, before we continue, this is one of our sponsors, Get Blitzed, with the Kool-Aid man here.
I have a little bit.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Right. And so my favorite part of Booker T is when fucking, what's this guy's name? Who's the guy that comes out to whoop that trick?
Trick Williams.
Trick Williams. Great name, by the way. Trick Williams. He comes out and all the fans are chanting, whoop that trick. Whoop, like they do at the Memphis right. games, right?
Right.
And you can hear, oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Get it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, Booker just did, like right.
you, bro, you know it was hilarious. I saw Rod Simmons. Now that I remember, I saw Rod Simmons backstage. Okay, I love that guy, anyways. And I was like, what the fuck is he going out there for? And he had a shirt that said "Damn," right? And so he goes out there, and they're doing this skit. I forgot who it was with, and he just said, "Damn." And the whole
right.
place.
That was a little gimmick came, that could never be.
Right. He came to the back, you know?
Yeah.
He goes, time to hit the bar. You know?
All right. Next one's from Kevin Donald. Sub is Orton onwards. Hey, guys. Now that Randy Orton is back and in the greatest shape of his life, I'd love to know how you guys would book him going forward. Never seen him this in shape before, but at the same time, you can visibly see that he's dealing with back issues. He didn't walk the same as he used to, and I noticed in the War Games, once Orton took his first back bump, he started sweating heavily. He's still awesome, but I can't help but feel that the clock is ticking on Orton's career. So, guys, how would you use Orton going forward? RIP AEW, the guy put at the end. I would book him against Roman. Like, Roman needs big names. And, you know, right now, Randy Orton's one of the bigger names he has in a match against. You know, and if Orton's, the time is ticking on his career, you need to get that done, you know, like ASAP.
Bro, I don't know where it's ticking, maybe because of his age, but he looked incredible on Monday. Like, you know, he got in really good shape, got a really good tan, the comeback. You know, he looked in incredible shape. And let me say this. I haven't seen nothing yet. I'm going to see it tonight. But I saw a clip where they threw that Janie McDonough off the top of the cage and he hit him with an RKO.
Well, they threw him off. Yeah.
What a great fucking spot. They're always coming up with creative shit. And another thing, he may be a little undersized, but that McDonough's a hell of a worker.
Yeah. All right. Next one's from So first of all, there's a comment at the beginning of this email submission. It says, Mr. Durbin was suspended, but I was asked if I could include this due to the major bendy promotion at the end. So we'll go ahead and read Durbin's emails, but I'm going to put him back on suspension after this.
All right.
For Mike Durbin, subject is thigh slapping. Hi, Conan, Meatball, and Joe. Oh, that's
it. Oh, Glenn. Mike.
Glenn, I watched Survivor Series from beginning to end. There were less than a dozen thigh slaps, which is 25 to 30 less than your average Impact or AEW show. I get why it's done in the indies in a smaller room with a crowd of 50 fans. You can actually hear the slapping. When you sold out Allstate Arena packed with 18,000 plus loud fans, why do thigh slaps? You can't hear it in the arena. Live mics aren't picking up because the crowd is so hot. Can you ask Shane Helms or that on probation Aldis gentleman why thigh slapping is allowed in WWE? That's from Mike Durbin. Please, and P.S., please check out MikeDurbin.com for news and release date for the upcoming Conan Major Bendy's figurine.
Wow, MikeDurbin.com.
Okay, you got for on sure. your you got in your ad. You'd already been suspended. You tried to sneak this in. We did it because you're a friend of the show, but we're going to suspend this guy for a month.
He's suspended until the end of the year already.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, we do need to get Shane Helms and Aldis to cut down on the thigh slapping. Speaking of the thigh slapping, it is less noticeable on WWE programming than it is on AEW. for sure. Right. A lot of guys don't do it egregiously like they do on the other shows, you know.
Well, I think at the end of the day, the only way to control that is you have to have a company-wide edict that no more thigh slapping will be accepted. And I got to do the same thing in AAA. That's something I already started working on, hope to eradicate it by next year.
Next is from Woven, and subject is Beach Brawl. Hey, guys, just saw a YouTube video on Beach Brawl. Fear Factory played during a Jericho and Rey Mysterio tag match. I completely forgot this entire event ever happened. Just one of your experiences with the entire show. I also saw Raven on commentary with Kid Rock. Can you confirm who sucked who off after the show? My guess is Raven, considering the insatiable kink towards frumpy goblins with hair extensions. Much love, and that's a Mark Rosales.
Wow, this is in Cancun.
I don't remember this. I didn't have anything to do with this. So
yeah, you were at a different one. You were at like the Snow Brawl or something.
Snow Brawl, yeah.
Actually, Conan wasn't on this either. So,
yes, it's misinformation. We can't comment on
this. Let's suspend this guy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What's the guy's name?
Mark Rosales.
Okay, Mark Rosales. And I hate this because you might have a Latino surname. How is it possible that you just said that you watched this show? And you want to know what me and Disco thought about it when we weren't even on the show?
Unbelievable.
And the king of the beach, DI, since I know you want to know, was Chris Jericho, as he beat Kidman, Chavo, Hugh Morris, Saturn, and Ray in a 6-man King of the Beach Battle Royal in Cancun.
Yeah, that was fixed. That was fixed to make him look good. Yeah.
Joe, if you ever land a girl and want to procreate, you know what you need, right?
Hey, what do I need?
The Legacy Test Stack, of course. Listen to this. Yeah, listen to this customer testimony from Alec in Virginia, who gave us permission to read this on the air. This is from our friends at LegacySubs.com. I'm a father of one, which came with ease. We've been trying to have another kid for 3.5 years now. I tried multiple things, including fertility drugs, but with no luck. I've been using the Test X9 and T-Assist for a month now, and I went to the doctor and took a sperm sample. My count was at 80%. It's never been anywhere close to that before. My wife took a pregnancy test 2 days later, and now she's pregnant. I don't know for sure if it's because of the products, but it's the only thing I've done differently, and all signs point to this being the key to my family's new expected child, and there are no words to express how much I appreciate that. I'm very particular about what supplements I use, but when I saw that Nick Aldis was behind this, I knew it had to be quality, so you have a loyal customer for life, unquote. I think that testimony says more than we ever could, so get your baby maker and go to LegacySubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com and the code K100 for 10% off. You got to give these products a try.
Yeah, and we get guys sending us pictures of weight that they've lost, people telling them that they use it when they got to study and concentrate. So they've been with us how long, Joe? 2 years?
A couple of years, yeah. And don't forget Jay Baca, who we had on our roundtable this week, longtime listener, is just an avid user of Legacy Subs. He came on, he looked a lot skinnier, and we found out he lost 70-80 pounds down from 380 or whatever. He's trying to get down further, but that's an amazing amount of weight to lose, and he looks good.
Get all your nutrients, all your supplements. They also have a woman's line done by Mickey James. You can check that all out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Next is from Brian Creech, subject is Ring of Honor. Some Brian. Hey guys, I've been enjoying your podcast since 2017. This is my first time writing in. My question is for Disco K-Dog and Joe. She got a lot of questions about Ronda debuting at Ring of Honor. Do you guys think Tony will ever pull the plug on Ring of Honor? What will it take? I think it's a huge disservice to wrestlers like Athena. She's one of their best workers in the ring, and she's okay on the mic, but could be better, but I think she deserves a bigger spotlight. Well, Tony's not going to pull the plug at Ring of Honor because he paid for it.
He just bought it, yeah.
Yeah, so... I don't watch that show. And not a lot of people.
Well, guys, tried to make it interesting and it isn't. A lot of people you never heard of, a lot of people nobody cares about. That's a big problem. And I think when people are told you're going to Ring of Honor, they probably think it's some sort of a demotion, you know? The guy goes, I think she deserves a bigger spotlight. Well, there is no bigger spotlight than WWE where she was at. I think she just. The only reason she's even wrestled is because it was in L.A., all right? The both times that I think she wrestled one time in Lucha Baboon with Taya, yes. And the other time with them. And I think she did one with Sammy Callahan, but Sam McCallahan's promotion, because I was talking to him the other day about this, but her partner was the same partner, Marina Shafir. That's mm-hmm. her girl, right? I'd like to ask you a question, Brian Creech. You brought up this Athena, where she comes from Booker T School of Reality or whatever it's called.
Right.
And she's a good wrestler, but what exactly is her gimmick? She looks kind of weird because of whatever she's like the whole thing. I don't know. Could you tell me what her gimmick is, please? Thank you.
I have no idea. I don't know what it is. So.
Right.
All right. Next is from Jonathan S. Subject is Feeny's wish list. Salutations, K100 crew. With the Christmas season fast approaching, I'm wondering if Feeny's going to update his Amazon wish list to wishing the Creative Control Network continues and he picks up something decent to put on the network. The wish list is Major JoJo, aching to that less that snowflake slob KG's willing to give tours in Japan if he paid for his flight and spooned him in a Murphy bed. That bottom-fiending, sap-sucking, snowflake SJW incel dork. The way these shows are banning the Creative Control Network, Joe could be Wednesday night regular on Dynamite as a seat filler soon. K-Dog and DI, what are your thoughts on the mass exodus from the Creative Control Network? And that's from Jonathan S. I thought you added people.
Yeah, I lost Francine and I lost the True Crime Show, Outlaws and Gunslingers.
Why'd you lose Francine?
Her and the Chadster signed an exclusive deal.
Oh, really?
So they were, you know, promised money and ads and all that. And while she got ads and stuff, especially because she was a female host, she got a lot of interest. But, you know, when she just wanted to make more money and all I could offer was a few hundred bucks a month from ads, it's really not that great. But, you know, you don't have to pay me to be on the network, which is kind of what I just take my cut of ads. So it's on me to make the money, you know.
Well, how about the other two guys, the Gunslingers?
They just wanted to do their own thing. Fly the nest.
All right. Next one is
one last one, Disco, and he's a favorite of yours. And I think this is actually when the show started to go down. Why did Hambone leave? Nothing. Wait a minute.
No one's heard from him.
Next one's from Hillbilly Money. Subject is Sting's final match. What up, K1 Hunno Gang Gang? Hope the triple threat are great as always. I hope y'all getting all the moolah cheddar biscuits. I think it's always been one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and his final match will be taking place soon. As of me writing this email, it's not been determined who his last match will be against. So my question is this. Who do the three of you think Sting's last opponent will be or should be? My personally, I'd like to see him against Action Spaghetti, the skinny guy who curses people that looks like a drag queen from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The luchador that does the spacewalk thing, or perhaps a revolutionary intergender bra and panties match with Riho or Abaddon. Nas Spran? Thanks, guys. Well, this is just a failed attempt at humor. I don't care who Sting wrestles last. It'd probably be Cage, I imagine. Because he's a good heel, you know?
Cage? Good heel.
I think so. Who do he go against?
Why would he be fighting Cage?
Well, it's his last match. He's got to fight a big star.
They don't have a history together. You pick somebody who has a history.
They have the history right now. They're doing the thing with Cage and Darby and stuff. They of course have a history
and
on
Nick
the show.
Wayne,
actually,
and Edge.
Yeah, they're underwhelming. Yeah, I think somehow, some way. Well, obviously, I don't think he should wrestle, but he should be there like as a manager, you know, with Sting, but definitely Flair. You know,
how about Sting versus Edge, Adam Copeland?
I don't care.
You're saying he needs a big name.
That's a geeky conversation to have. Is who?
Well, you
who
said he was going to need a big part. Name. I was just asking.
Well,
if that's
a lot of geeks
like Edge,
show,
Edge or Cage, or you know,
is that a
Cage?
Big enough name? Was going to be my question. That's all.
Who Edge?
Yeah.
What comes to Joe? Come on. Of course, it's okay. A big enough name. This is
what type of question is that?
Yeah,
I was trying to gauge who Disco was.
Well, you're saying is that a big enough name? I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than Edge, bro. He ain't The Rock, but he's Edge, and he's up there.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Next is from Dale Fortunio. Something just tell me lies. Hey, gang, straight for a question. Tony Khan's life is really in danger at Wembley. There could be potential or looming litigations. Then why would Endeavor sign Punk to a contract? Bonus. Why on earth does Creed get a bad rep? Same goes for Limp Bizkit. Yeah, Creed does get a bad rep. I'm a fan of Creed. I'm a fan of Limp Bizkit, too. There's a good collection of songs on the Chocolate Starfish album where four or five songs in a row are really good gym music, right?
Double disc, too.
Yeah. And also, there's not – well, they signed Punk. I guess there's not going to be any litigation from the Tony Khan Punk stuff. Is there litigation?
If anything, he would – have to sue for wrongful termination or something, right? Or Tony, what would Tony sue him for? You can't sue someone unless you're injured. He wasn't injured. You know?
Well, sue for physically assaulting him.
But there's no injury. He wasn't hurt.
No, I think what happened was, I don't think he ever physically assaulted him. I think he might have said, hey, I'll fuck you up or some shit like that. Okay. And that's when he said, oh, I'm afraid for my life. But I don't think I don't remember the whole story, and it was told to me. But I think that something had just happened. Oh, I think he just fought with that Jack Perry guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. What happened with him and Jack? Do you remember, Joe?
They got into a skirmish. I guess Punk had him in a headlock or a front face.
And it was right before. And I imagine this, Disco. You know how, like, right before the match, you're trying to concentrate, right? Get ready for the match and shit, going over your shit in your head. And this guy gets in your face or whatever, you know, and right before you go out, you're fucking pissed off. And he probably might have told Tony, hey, I'm going to fucking whatever he told Tony felt threatened. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, and Joe had to convince him to go out and have the match. But one thing that we missed there, and I was going to tie in, is that when Punk and Jungle Boy were grappling around or whatever, either Punk hit a table and knocked the monitors off into Tony's lap, or the monitors hit Tony somehow, right? So if you're Tony Khan, he doesn't look like he's been in too many fights or been threatened. So if you're Tony and you've never been in that situation, a big wrestler, maybe he pushed a monitor at you or something, that seems threatening.
But let me tell you something, Creed and Nickelback and Limp Bizkit and all that, bro, they were, you know, when me and Disco were running around town, those guys were huge. And really what happened was, like, the corporate owned radio stations at that time, that's all they were playing, like Limp Bizkit, you know, Nickelback, Kid Rock and all that. And at that time, there was a thriving, like, indie emo rock thing. And they wouldn't use, like, female singers and shit. So there was a big backlash against them, which it should have been the corporations. Plus, Fred Durst was getting into a lot of fights, like, you know, threatening guys. I remember he had one with the guy from Creed.
Yeah.
Said he was going to slap the shit out of him. And then he got into, you know, and it was a bad look. You know what I'm saying? And they weren't playing all those groups that they were playing before, like Soundgarden and, you know, Nirvana. Even though at that time, grunge was kind of losing. So they get a lot of heat for that.
Right.
Creed is on tour, reunion tour next year, D.I. Maybe Madden will come out to Vegas for it. You know, you guys go to the show.
Next one's from Matthew Hardy. Is that Matt Hardy? Seth Rollins' reaction to CM Punk. Hey, Conan and Disco, it's been a while since I came in with a question. I want to get your thoughts on Seth Rollins' reaction to CM Punk's arrival. You hadn't seen it. He was flipping him off, charging forward, dropping a few F-bombs, and went to say on fan footage, if he's in the back, I'm going to knock him the F out. Do you think this was a real or a work? A big part of me thinks it's a work because there was really only one guy holding him back, Michael Cole. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the holiday season. That's from Matthew Hardy. I think it's definitely a work.
100%.
So they work just to gain interest. So, yeah. Next one's from Wilgaby Gonzalez.
Let me tell you, can I just say a thing, Disco? That's what I still love about wrestling. Because, like, when you and me were growing up, and I don't know if Joe got any of this, because he's not from our generation, but you and me specifically, a lot of people still thought it was a work. I thought it was a work, kind of. I wasn't sure until I started training. You know what I'm saying? But today, it's been exposed with all these Tough Enough and people talking, yeah, I did a job for this. I got put him over. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you believe this is real? That shows right. That wrestling can still get you and done right. So I approve of what Seth Rollins did, because a lot of people weren't sure.
Next is CM Punk's first opponent here. Hi, Conan Disco. This is Wilgaby, Conan Mark, as Disco like to call me. I see people in wrestling group online saying it should be Seth Rollins, but I disagree. To me, it's pro wrestling, as Russo like to say. Wrestling, to me, needs to bring some reality into it. I think CM Punk's first opponent should be Cody Rhodes. Cody was once cool with the Elite. Not only that, in his recent documentary produced by WWE, he put over the Young Bucks on it. What sense does it make if you went after Seth? In my opinion, nothing. I believe you go for what's hot right now with the drama with Punk, and that is AEW. You can use Cody as a catalyst to it, since he was the one that helped start the company. Cody didn't do what he did. That company would never have existed. So what do you guys think? Should WWE make Cody Rhodes CM Punk's first opponent? P.S. No. Disco, I told Joe that he should frame that $100 up at the Philly scoreboard beating your Braves in the playoffs. Does that have heat with you? Nothing? Yeah, it does. This has been him for a week.
He's from the most dangerous city in the country, you know.
Which is?
Chester, P.A.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's suspended. I think Seth Rollins' stuff is interesting.
Let me just say this. Where do you live, Joe? Delco? Is that?
Yeah, Glen Alden, which is in Delco. Yeah.
Okay, Glen Alden, Delco, and Chester is where the men are men and the sheep are scared. Nothing.
They're not going to have Cody and Punk regurgitate AEW history on WWE TV. It's just not what they do there. And Rollins and Punk have had little back and forth shit in the press and on social media for years. It makes the most sense. Cody doesn't, in my opinion.
And I was going to say that, bro, do you think they're going to follow up on something that happened with the Elite? No.
Right.
No. And Tony, in no surprise, in an interview, he said legally he cannot comment on the Punk situation, blah, 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 which means Punk can't either. So as Conan said,
then why even do fucking interviews if you're not going to answer anything? You know, hate that.
That separation.
Because even Hunter, well, obviously he didn't have a legal problem. Tony did. I think everybody signed an NDA that they couldn't talk.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But like I saw one where Hunter was talking about Edge, you know, and he basically said Edge felt he had done everything he could do here. So did we. So he's welcome back. We love him. Blah, blah, blah. Very classy, you know. But it's very rare that Hunter goes, oh, I can't discuss this or I can't discuss that. Because interviews are for you to discuss it. If you're not ready to discuss it or you haven't gone over with your team, how do we answer this? Then why even fucking do one?
Next from Jared Aviat. Subject is fans getting too deep. CM Punk is a locker room cancer. Hey, K100 fam. Hope all is well. Just wanted to touch on Punky Brewster himself, a.k.a. Chicago-made Punk, returning to WWE after almost 10 years away at Survivor Series. The response I got from friends and family member regarding Punk's return is basically along the lines of, well, I hope the guy behaves himself now, or I hope he does not cause issues backstage. These are from WWE fans. However, I don't quite understand these sentiments, and I question them to these people. Are people forgetting Richie Rich Khan, the Cucamonga Kids, George the Jungle Boy, and other people's roles in that shit show that was Punk's last year at AEW? Do you think Punk will get a bad rep from many fans who see him as a locker room cancer? Do you think that he's coming back to WWE to change the minds of people who think of him as such? Is Punk unfairly blocked, looked at by certain fans? Unfairly? No, because, you know, he did what he did. You know, he buried Tony in that press. I mean, he's done things he can be critical of.
But let me just say this, and this is very important. This is really important. This is in no way saving Punk because he had his blame in this too, okay? He could have taken the high road like Chris Jericho does, and he didn't, you know? But, bro, that was already a toxic environment he was going into, you know? People wanted to fight people. There were cliques. People were pissed off because they weren't being used. You had a lot of immature people backstage. You had people threatened by him. You know, it was already a toxic environment that he was in. And so a lot of people may say, well, our dressing room's really good right now. Okay, it could be really good right now. Good, it should be. But it wasn't before because I was there. And I was right when I made statements and then they happened.
Yeah. Next time, Kelly Koski. So does WWE let their talent do the show to sell questions? Hey, guys, which company is supposed to be the progressive one? Which company bragged about we're not going to tell the talent what to do, what to say, or who to talk to? Just really struggling with the whole WWE is prison, but AEW is the land of the free narrative. When I hear the talent of one company chopping up with Conan and, wow, even the evil Disco Inferno, and another is being muzzled and not even allowed to do interviews with anyone who isn't handpicked and suck. Funny how the snowflakes, it always ends up being the case. Weird.
That's interesting.
Well, doesn't that go back to what I just said a couple of letters ago that, you know, when Tony went into with rose-colored glasses and this is going to be great, I'm going to have a fun time, and then you're going to be progressive, and then he gets in there and he finds out very different. You got to feed – you're a slave to the networks. You're a slave to certain – to advertisers. You're a slave to sponsor. There are certain things you don't want you can't do. He's learning on the job. There's no way you learned this in 4 years, bro. No way.
And the non-answers in interviews and the fact that I don't know what other shows these guys aren't allowed to go on, but our listeners know that we can't really have AEW talent on. So that is bad for the overall rep of Tony and the company. It's not as fan-friendly as it appeared to be at the beginning.
Next is from Joaquin Andujar. It's pretty funny.
Okay, the guy from the Astros?
Yeah. Right. All right.
Yeah, it's another – this must be someone that was suspended and they keep using athlete names.
Subject is Connish treatment of luchadors compared to Bischoff's. Bischoff had a bad rep on how he treated the luchadors, but it's been over 3 years in AEW. Think TK has done a better job. TK has been way worse. He ruined LAX. How is this How has he improved Lucha wrestling? Gravity is a joke. No one understands why Commander is a commander. And the Lucha champion is a bland white boy from New Jersey named QT Marshall. During the Bischoff era, we knew who Conan, Hoovy, Parka, Ray were. Even Super Colo was more over than what TK has done. Thanks, and that's from Jack. I mean, doesn't really get a lot of, there's a lot of people that aren't over on that show, not just Mexicans.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say real quick, read that line that he said about QT Marshall. We buried him.
The Lucha champion is a bland white boy from Jersey named QT Marshall.
Well, let me just say this. He's a bland white boy because that's how he's portrayed on AEW TV. He's not portrayed like that in AAA. And that's a big difference.
Yeah, and there's no, Disco stepped, but there's nothing more I could say, really. The guy said at the end, what I was thinking is the fact that we remember Conan and Super Colo and Blitzkrieg and Liz Mark Jr. And I'm just naming some of the lesser known guys. Psychosis, of course, Hoovy, Ray. We remember them, but I couldn't really tell you who the luchadors are on the AEW shows except Penta and Phoenix and Super Astro or whatever his name is.
I think what Eric was very smart as he was looking at the numbers and he was hearing the comments, because I know a lot of people that told me then and they've told me now that when the luchadors, because the luchadors came in usually in the first half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that people were like, yeah, I'd always watch the first half because I knew the luchadors was going to be on, because they were revolutionizing the sport. You know what I'm saying? And at least Eric was astute enough to capitalize on that, you know,